This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So I'm going to try and just, yes, let me tell you the same story. You know, we're now going to start praying from Monday to Friday. What's the time? 5:30 or is it 5? 5:30 to 6:30. You know what? So when I left, I think I got that message from Yaku at some stage. Yes, I did get it. So it's a bit overwhelming, to be very honest. It's definitely overwhelming. But God has a way of just showing us that we're not alone. So I fly to, I went for work to Rwanda. Ooh, beautiful place. And I meet this person there that's running our office. And I know he's a Christian. I didn't know much more than that, so... The first day or the second day we're talking and he tells me, no, he woke up this, he does wake up normally 3 o'clock because he was a soldier, so it's a routine. But he said, no, he woke up at about 2:30 and then he went to the office to pray for our week. So, you know, I come there like, oh God, we need to pray every morning at 5:30 to 6:30. And this guy just tells me he woke up this morning, 2:30 to go and pray in the office. So, you know what? It's not so bad. We're not going to die. We can make it. And there are other people out there, Christians following God, and we're just on a path to where God wants to get us. Okay, so don't feel overwhelmed, or it's fine if you feel overwhelmed. I also feel a little bit, but we're going to be obedient, amen? And we're going to trust God that He takes us from glory to glory and strength to strength. I do just want to tell you, we're going to continue in prayer for rain in Namibia. Is that right? Okay, and I was at the first session, that was the only one. That I could attend, where we prayed for rain. And that Tuesday evening, I think it was Tuesday, it was Wednesday evening or somewhere, I looked at the weather forecast. I do that because I have in-laws with farms and I've got on my mother's side farms. So I guess it's a Namibian thing. We always look for the rain, eh? So, but when I read about a week earlier or something, that they said that this whole weather patterns, etc., just doesn't look right. I remember it specifically because if we get rain, we normally get it, the moisture starts forming in Angola and it just drops down from the north. That's how in summer, that's what should happen. And it just wasn't like that. It was dry and there was just no signs. The whole of Namibia and Botswana and parts were just dry. And they said this, I didn't read all of it, but it could last and it looks bad. That Wednesday when we prayed, I don't know if it was the Wednesday or the Thursday, already there were clouds over in Angola, and I think 2 days later it rained in Namibia a little bit. But that I saw it with my own eyes, the patterns that have changed, how God changed it. Now there's moisture, the moisture drops into Namibia, and it rained. Then it went away again, and I was away, you guys prayed again, and yesterday it rained. It was, or 2 days ago, it was raining in Namibia. I want to tell you what I've saw, and I haven't had faith like that before. God listens to our prayers. He changes patterns because He is not set by patterns. It's about the faith that God's people have. I want to encourage you. We cannot stop praying. We have to continue praying, but we pray in faith. And I can tell you, look at the weather patterns. God is going to start changing those things because we have to break that curse or that yoke that is over Namibia. Amen? And we're going to pray until we have to. But rain is going to rain. Amen? And it was, for me, it's an eye-opener because you can physically see how things change within a day. How the patterns change and God brings in moisture. Amen? So I'm excited about it. I believe God is going to bless us. And God doesn't need the half of the country. It would be great. But God just needs us. We're not special. There's probably lots of other churches that pray in this country. We're not special. But God can use us. We are special, sorry, but we're not special, something like that, you figure it out, amen, God wants to use us, and in lots of things. Okay, I'll go on. So what I want to speak about today is Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews. Now, I'm going to try and focus on one specific thing, but we will go through a few topics in Hebrews, because I that is a very deep book. It's a very comprehensive book. It's almost like, if I have to describe it, it's if you're a Christian and you want to do your master's in Christianity, it's like Hebrews is the master's or the doctor's degree in Christianity. But just an amazing set of things that one goes through. So I will start off in Hebrews 2. We are going to look at our position in Christ. First, that's not the main topic today, but our position in Christ. Hebrews 2, verse 5. Who has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Remember that word, subjection. But one testifies in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. A major theme that came through Pastor Michael's teaching, and it was the same last year, but it is a profound thing he's saying. It's not easy to grasp in one go, but is this aspect of Christians are supposed to rule and reign. Are you with me? Did you hear that? Now, sometimes we question, and I'm also still questioning it. I'm going to try and figure it out more, pray about it more. When is it that we're supposed to rule and reign? Where are we supposed to rule and reign? And one thing that is come and messed up completely for me is when, if you go to Revelations, and I don't want to talk about that. I don't have enough knowledge of it. But is when will we actually be, I don't remember the Afrikaans word, raptured. I was taught in Bible school that there's two thinkings. We didn't say which one was correct, but will we raptured before Jesus comes or after he comes? Those were the two. There's still two doctrines out like that. But Pastor Michael Howard made it quite clear. Now, that's the topic I don't want to talk too much about, is that we're not going to be raptured. We're going to have the Revelation speaks of that 1,000 years ruling with Christ. And when he talks about it, it's like we're probably going to be there. And we're going to have to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And this scripture says that creation has been put in subjection under your feet. The same way, like rain. We just look at the patterns and, that's just how it is. But scripture says that the creation has been put in subjection under our feet. God has chosen it to be like that. Why? I don't really know. But that is how it is. So you and I have a responsibility to grasp that and to ask God, but in which area, where am I supposed to rule and reign? How am I supposed to rule and reign? But the fact is that we should not be dictated by creation, etc. The Bible says the creation eagerly awaits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Didn't you like, there's one topic he spoke about where, I'd rather not go there, but he had such empathy and sympathy for, in Namibia, the drought that we go through and the suffering, not only of the people, but of the animals. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's some things, some droughts, some stuff that this world goes through. And the only reason I would say that it is there is because the Christians are not taking their authority in Christ. Because God doesn't want things to suffer. God doesn't want animals to suffer. God doesn't want people to suffer. Amen? Okay, so subjection under your feet. Verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's that word subjection to bondage again. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. That verse 15 says, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The subjection, Jesus Christ came to reverse the roles of who is subject to fear and bondage. And the way he releases that subjection, if you're following me, is by Jesus Christ coming and he says, I've set you free. And I'm sorry to say, I put myself in that picture. Sometimes Christians are still under subjection. fear and bondage. This scripture says that God has taken the subjection, he's broken it, and he says, creation is subject to you. Are you following me? It should make you feel, look, pray differently. We pray, I mean, it's a challenge for me also. I'm not trying to say I'm there, etc. But we sometimes pray things like, Lord, if it's your will, let it rain. What is that? What is that? That's not the fervent prayer of a righteous man prevails. That's not such a prayer. Does God want it to rain? Does God want creation to be blessed? Of course, he wants it. Why do we need to beg him for rain? We need to obviously ask God. You know, we many times have to repent as a nation for stuff. But those are the things we ask him for so that he breaks it. It's not whether or not he wants this nation to be blessed. He wants to. Why isn't it? Is the question. How can we get through to it? How can we play a role in that repentance as a nation? But God wants it to rain. We need to pray differently. The transaction, this change of subjection has taken place. And you and I can decide if we walk in it, if we run in it. I want to stir faith in you. Ask God, pray. You yourself must hear from God. What is it that I must do? What is my purpose in life? God will show you that he wants you to rule and reign over that certain area. It might start small, but let's walk in obedience. It is not only for Yaku and Pastor Michael Howard to have this faith and to walk in it. It's for us. It's for everyone. It's out there for everyone to walk in it. I want to challenge the way you pray. One of the things he said is, it's challenging. He said, stand in front of the mirror. I'm going to get to that later, but I'll share it now. And say to yourself, you're beautiful. Okay, in the mornings, it's a bit of a challenge for me because everything is skiff and demakar. You know, I have to shower in the morning just so I can get this afro down. That's the only reason I shower. If it's shorter, then it's fine, but otherwise I have to shower. Otherwise it's an ugly sight. Or, I don't know, a godly sight. Maybe God wanted that. But you have to stand up and you look at the mirror and just practice looking at it and say, look at yourself and say, wow, made in the image of God. You know, how do we... It's like... Your children waking up. It's just lovely. It's exciting. It's nice to say, morning, how are you? You go for breakfast together. It's nice. How do you think God feels when you come into his presence? And I know how we feel. Most of us feel not worthy. Because I think I can say that because I go through that. No, I'm not doing everything correctly. And God says, but I've dealt with all of that sin and that trouble and those issues. How do you walk into the presence of God? Do you feel like you're a child that can, I don't want to say demand, but just stand on the word and say, God, you like me. You've made me in the image of God. What did he say that one day we went through a exercise here? I must say it took us a while. But he made sure we went through it. But just, how do you see God? God, you're my Savior. Some people I started off just saying, God, I don't know, but God, you're good. But later on, when you stir that faith in you, it just starts, you start saying these beautiful things to God. God, you're amazing. You're glorious. Like Mark said, let's practice that. And stay in that, people. Practice it at home. Jesus has made you in the image of God. He has a plan for you and a purpose for your life. It is time for you to start looking at yourself, praying and growing in faith. And sometimes it will be a mechanical exercise, yes, but keep at it so that your faith can be stirred and it becomes part of your life. Amen. We are delivered from slavery. We're no longer under bondage. Amen. Then Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. I hear this word. I mean, I'm also calling. What's your calling? What are you supposed to do? What's your calling? Hebrews tells us what this calling is. And I'm not saying I have everything, but I'm getting some stuff. But chapter 2, it explains what I just told you. It's this creation is subject to us. We are to rule and reign with Christ. And verse 3, it says, then, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of this heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ Jesus. Part of your holy calling is to stop worrying Yeah, pray is one thing. But to stop worrying, am I doing exactly the thing that God tells me to do? But is to get your mind, renew your mind, to have the mind of Christ, to see that you are supposed to rule and reign wherever you are now. That is part of the higher calling, is to live with that reality in your mind, saying, I'm called by Christ. I'm supposed to rule and reign with Him. And you walk with that authority in life. That is part of your holy calling. I want to say to you, 99% of us, doesn't matter what God tells us now, tomorrow we're probably going to do the same thing. 99%, right? We're going to go to the same job. And then some of us walk with that through life. Oh, this is not where I'm supposed to be. God's going to tell me something else. I'm going to go somewhere else. I want to tell you, yes, He might do that. But it will be steps of obedience, you just walking in the obedience of what God is calling you to do and start to rule and reign where you are. Stop waiting for some amazing word that is going to change your life tomorrow. It's not going to come. It's this word that Jesus has already set you free, and you start walking in it. That's not discouragement. If you have issues in life, I'm not saying that. God, we can help. And even in Hebrews, it tells how we encourage each other. I'm not saying that. People you're struggling with stuff, you have made a few mistakes, there's some bad things. No. Grace for that. But don't think that those circumstances determine where you're going to go with God. They don't. Those are things we can walk with you in love to get through. But you are where you're supposed to be. Unless God tells you, obviously, to repent of something. Get it out of your life. We have to do that. Amen? Okay. God promises us rest in Hebrews 3. Rest. What is this rest? But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house were if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Let me just check. But yes, it is in Hebrews 3 where God speaks of the rest. What is this rest? Part of it is we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. That which what Jesus has done for you, don't let it go. Hold fast to it. Hold it. Throughout Hebrews, it says, hold on to it, hold on to it. But then in other scriptures, it says, and you will enter into His rest. I can promise you that rest doesn't mean having holidays in Hawaii until Jesus comes back. I went to Hawaii. Man, you know what? Little story I can tell you. I don't know why we chose. But literally, if you look at the globe, no? The earth, Hawaii, Namibia is here at the bottom. And Hawaii is exactly at the opposite end at the top. I couldn't decide to a place further to fly to in my whole life. So we chose to fly there, and I had to fly with Ember, still my daughter, a two-year-old, alone. Goodness, it was more like a massive Ironman marathon instead of a holiday. Boy, where am I? My point is, I have no clue where I am. Hope. Yes, God gives that hope. Is not only this cushy lifestyle that we're going to have, but that hope should remain with us constantly, even irrespective of what we go through, is that I have Jesus. He's inside of me. He's talking to me. I have faith. Are we going somewhere? If something went wrong, God reaffirms you. It's that hope if we hold fast. That's the rest that the Bible is talking about. You know what the only precondition is for rest in Hebrews is obedience. It's like my children. Let me tell that again. I guess I was the same. I was kind of a naughty guy. Parents are happy when kids are obedient. It's very easy, isn't it? Any parents here that agree with that? Or am I the only one that needs that? But if they're not disobedient, I'm not so happy. Bottom line, I'm not going to change. It doesn't change my love for them. But it changes my whole vibe. And the vibe of the house, depending on how obedient they are. And God is the same way. The rest that you and I can enter in is dependent on our obedience. Bottom line. Amen? Is that a good place to say amen? Yeah. It is good to have for God to correct us with somebody like Michael Howard coming. It's fantastic. Because the flesh dies. Yes. Oh, that's not nice. It's like a painful process. You know, it's like, ah. Because we always want to say, oh, I tried. I mean, I've really tried now for 20 years to be a Christian, and I think I should be all right. And then somebody like that comes and, no, nothing is all right. It seems like nothing is all right. But your spirit is so revived. The spirit is revived because you've been disciplined spiritually. It's not a bad process. It's a fantastic process to go through. Amen? Are you with me? Your children might not like discipline, but it blesses them enormously. Okay? Give it correctly how you should give it. And I'll leave the details up to you on what that means. Hebrews 3 verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it said, today if you hear the voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled, indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Let's hold fast. The next topic is this whole... Are you still with me? All right, good. Thank you too. Amen's name. And it, Hebrews 7 verse 15. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. Michael Howard did it. It's a very deep topic. It's an amazing topic. It's this whole thing of the Melchizedek, the high priest. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Who have you heard? It was Sunday. He preached on it on Sunday. I just want to summarize. In the Old Testament, you could not become a high priest unless you were of the lineage of Levi, I believe. Aaron and then later Levi. And you were the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, the high priest in the temple, only into the presence of God, and you had to make offerings and sacrifices for the people. And that was only from that tribe, that lineage, could you be a high priest in the presence of God. What Scripture here tells us is that Jesus Christ, and then there's this Melchizedek, who was not of that tribe, and he finds... Abram finds himself that he's a high priest, and how does this work? He's not from the lineage. And God basically says, it is not about lineage. It's not about where you come from, your background, your father, your mother, etc. It's about you deciding if you want to be you want to come into the presence of God, because Jesus comes in that same, not being from the same lineage, and he becomes our high priest. He comes into the Holy of Holies. He's done it once and forever. And we don't have to deal with all the sacrifices and things to get there again. Jesus came and he said, I've cleaned that. When Jesus passed away, the curtain in the temple tore in two. Symbolizing that it's open. And you and I can walk into the presence of God. Yes, we can't walk in there arrogantly. We have to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us. We have to be in faith. And if God says repent over things, we should. But we can walk into the presence of God anytime you want. And that is where I actually wanted to mention it. But how do we walk in there? Do we feel we can go in there? Or do we feel there's stuff holding us back, etc.? Repent of the stuff and move in. The presence of God shouldn't be a place only here on Sundays where we experience it when we play some nice songs. It can be everywhere. And God wants you to experience it everywhere. The most amazing times, I wouldn't say all the times, but the amazing times where I've experienced God in His presence, it's not been in church. It's when He speaks to me somewhere else. Doesn't matter where it is. And we sometimes, I don't know if I can say it, we sometimes even look at the pastor that we have or the leaders in church as that they're the everything. No, they are set over us to teach us the Word of God. But we think it's only them that experience God and them that experience the amazing things and them that get the words of God. It's not. It's not. It's meant for all of us to experience. If you go into the presence of God at home and you pray, I want to tell you God can answer things to you right there. Sunday service should be a place like the Springboks yesterday. Hallelujah. You knew I was going to talk about the Springboks. You knew it. But it's where you celebrate and like, wow, church should be like that. Hey, what happened? What did God tell you this week? A celebration of what God is doing in our lives. A celebration of what He's telling you at home and what He told you, and it came through. I'm still overwhelmed. I need to write all these things down that happened to me in this week. I went from here, if you want to hear the story, this Rwanda trip. And at first it was somebody else that was going to go, and then I want to go, and it was a battle of when should it be me or when should it be. And one day I was jogging and I was praying about it, and I felt God said, no, you must go. So I decided right there, it's not going to be easy organizing everything, but I'm going to go. And it happened to be a week later, so I still saw Pastor Michael Howard until Sunday. And I go there and I think, oh, am I missing 3 days of not hearing from whatever you guys heard? But you know what? Yes, I did miss that. But it, God continued right there. I cannot believe what happened to me there. This guy that I meet, that's a Christian, and the plans that he has, and it's just perfect. It's just amazing. I can't believe how God orchestrated this whole thing and the faith that God stirred in my life. So God did that outside of church, out there in the bush where I think that sometimes He's not. No, He's there. He's there. And it just stirs so much faith in one's life. And that's almost the next topic I want to get to. But what is the faith? That impression that God prints on your heart is that I must do this. Or this is the next thing I must be obedient in. Do you have that? Do you walk with that? I know that sometimes I go through life as a Christian and I don't have that. I don't have that unction, that the right word, that God has laid on my heart, that you, that's the next thing you must do. Now, I came back from Rwanda. I know exactly what I must do. It's challenging, but it's so amazing. It's just, I'm not a headless chicken. I have direction. Do you have that faith that inside of you that God says, this is the next thing? It doesn't have to be big things. It can just be a small thing of being obedient. But that's the faith that the Bible talks about. We'll get to that later. But Moses, Abram, God tells him, pack up, you must go. Because I've got an inheritance for you. They lived with that faith. They walked in that expectation. Noah had to build an ark because God spoke to him. Now imagine, how many times must he have doubted? He's still building this ship, this ark, and it's like, it's not raining yet. I hope I'm right. He can't explain to anybody what he heard from God, but he's walking with this faith in, no, God spoke to me. And God wants to leave those things in your life, that faith, that it stirs your spirit, and you know that it's Him speaking to you. And yes, you're holding on to that. Sometimes you don't know how it should manifest in your life, but it's just something, it carries us. Do you have that faith? No, I just skipped a lot of scriptures. Hebrews 9. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus Christ is standing at the right hand of God, and He is called our intercessor. He is interceding for you right now. And every now and then He talks to God. I guess I can say this because that's how I interpret Scripture. He talks to God about you personally. He says, you, God, I saved you. You know, He's got issues. But these are the plans I have for Him. He's interceding for you. Doesn't that give you faith? Doesn't that give you, wow, Jesus Christ is interceding for you and me, standing at the right hand of God. He is my high priest. That's why Scripture says, no weapon formed against us. Hebrews 11, the faith thing I want to talk about. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, For he comes to God must believe what? Firstly, that he is God, he's able, he's capable of doing what he says, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to use the same example again of how do you see yourself in the mirror? If you look at yourself, if you come into the presence of God, what do you think he thinks of you? Because this scripture says, if you come into his presence, you cannot be convinced that he's going to reward you when you seek him. It's like a father-child relationship. If the child is confident in the father's love for him, they come into the presence of that father and they're like, "Dada, I want this, I want that," sometimes. And you can't say yes to everything, but they come into the presence of God knowing that he rewards, he's a good God, he rewards. And I believe there is, right there is the place where we sometimes get stuck because we walk into the presence of God with a picture of ourselves that is not godly. It should be a picture of ourselves saying, the blood of Jesus Christ has washed me. He loves me. He thinks I'm amazing. I am great. I'm perfect. I'm created in his image. And then if you go into that presence of God, he's going to reward you because you seek him. You go into the presence of God with confidence, not arrogance. Amen? So, faith. Just some examples of, I did mention them already. But by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he had, was to receive as an inheritance, etc., etc. The whole of Hebrews 11 is these examples of people that lived by faith. My question to you again is, what is it that God is impressing on your heart to do that you know he's telling you to do? It's the next step of obedience. It doesn't have to be something big, but I am trying to tell you that that is the place we should live in, constantly stay in. And the scripture tells us we enter into the rest when we're obedient to that. What is God telling you? If he's telling you nothing at the moment, it's not okay, but it's okay because we can pray for that and just say, God, and I actually don't want to myself or somebody else, I don't know if that's godly or not, but pray and then say, I feel this for you. Because I want most of us here to say, go and wrestle with God and you find out what he tells you. Because sometimes I can make noise you can have some faith or whatever and think that's from God. That's not necessarily from God. The thing, when God speaks to you and he drops into your spirit that this is what I'm supposed to do next. Small, big, large, doesn't matter. But when he drops it in you, it's like these guys went through living with that hope that he spoke to me. This is what's going to happen. He had that confidence in him. And sometimes we walk in life and we just don't know where to go. And we walk around with no faith in us. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Is that ask him, what is it, God? This guy that I met in Rwanda, this guy's life is dictated by what God promised him in a dream. And he cannot waver from it. There's no way. You cannot change the man. He will die with that in him. But he will accomplish it because God has spoken to him. Faith, faith. What is it that you're trusting God for? What is it, the faith, that you are walking in at this moment? Small or big. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I want us to, can we start handing out the communion, please? And then there's another chapter in Hebrews 12 where God speaks about discipline. Who spoke about discipline? Was it Mark? What I want to say is, we need to get to a place where we keep each other accountable for what God has placed on our hearts. Are you with me? You need to share what God has put on your heart, what you believe he wants to accomplish through you. You must share it with somebody else, and we have to keep each other accountable. That's what this whole discipline chapter of 12 goes through, is that we just have to be honest with each other. Are we walking in faith? So if God promised you something, I have to actually share it with somebody. And then 3 months later or whatever, he must have the freedom to come to me and say, Theo, have you done that yet? Have you been obedient in that yet? Sorry to say, but there's very little accountability in our relationships, and we have to be intentional, because God just wants to teach us to start with this obedient path and where he takes us from glory to glory. Amen? So I want to encourage you. I don't want to call it an accountability partner. You figure it out yourself. But if God has impressed something on your spirit and you've never shared it with somebody, just pray. Can you, God, show me who I can share it with? And start walking that life of accountability. God has asked me to do this next. And then somebody can speak into your life every now and then and say, have you done that? Because otherwise we're not going to grow in faith. And this last scripture I said, it's about shaking. God wants to and will every now and then shake us so that he can see what's loose and what rattles, so that we can get rid of it. It's not a bad experience. It's an experience we should look forward to, because God is calibrating us again. Amen. So having communion is an scripture says that bring into remembrance what God has done. It's a time for us to reflect also on where are we in faith at the moment. And if it's a place where we can repent and say, God, yes, I know you've asked me to do that. I haven't done that or whatever. But just, it's a place to reflect, but just to keep us walking in faith with God. So I want to, as we are partaking of the communion this morning, just reflect on your own life and say, God, thank you. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. I know you're not finished, God, but thank you that you've started. If you don't have faith this morning, you don't have that unction, that impression on you, and your life feels a little bit directionless, then ask God, Father, just imprint that something on my heart that I can run with in faith. And I'll read us throughout the last piece of scripture from Hebrews 8. Because finding fault with these, he said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with them, with the house of Israel, after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of his brothers, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. What I want to summarize and close off with today is, the new covenant we have with Jesus Christ is the one where he shows us our shortcomings, but he also tells us to stop trying, because he says, I put my laws in your mind and on your heart. I change you. And that is all we need to be at this morning. So as we partake of it, and if you feel there's shortcomings in your life, just say, God, please, you made a new covenant with me, and you said it's up to you, not me, to change me. And therefore, I just surrender, and I ask again, God, to change me. So, Father, as we partake of the bread this morning, we thank you that your body was broken for us. That's the sign of our covenant with you, the new covenant, Father. And we see, we're so aware of our shortcomings. But at the same time, we have an excitement that is born in faith, Lord God, because we know you're going to manifest yourself in us, and you're going to change us again. Father, we pray that we will be changed this morning again. I pray for us to walk into your presence with a different eyes, Lord God. And Father, as we partake of the blood of this juice that symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ, we thank you that all of this is possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Father, we thank you that you wash us clean and you set us free, Lord God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.